Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 83. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the best SEO tools for a membership website in 2024. It's a really important subject, especially if you're using WordPress. And we all recommend that you should do that. I've got my regular co-host with me on these shows, Haroon. So, Haroon, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Certainly. Thank you, Jonathan. Hi, everyone. This is Haroon. Been working with WordPress for quite a long time now, a decade and a half, and in the tech industry in general for 2.5 decades. And over the years, one of the things that I've been doing pretty much throughout my career is SEO, because I used to work in the field of content for many years, wrote for some technologies, and then took care of their content strategy. So everything about that was built all around SEO. So yeah, today's session is that's why that much more special to me.
He's a man of many talents. There we go. In this show, we're going to be talking about some of the best WordPress SEO plugins, some of the best SaaS software as a service tools, subscription tools, some of the up-and-coming AI tools. It's going to be a fantastic discussion. I'm sure you're going to get some value. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out that we've got a great course that shows you how to build a membership website in 2024 on WordPress from the beginning to the end. It's normally around $49, but if you go to this URL, you'll get a coupon code and you can get it for half price, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, plus some special offers from the sponsors. What more could you ask for? And you get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. I'm sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. There we go. They should have got a grid. It's got a grid for Haroon. It's used to my disaster. So, Haroon, where do you think? I think we need an intro. We've got a list of about 4 or 5 of the best WordPress SEO plugins, and then we've got some other tools. I've mashed it all up, but I think it's an interesting list. So how would you intro this conversation, Haroon?
Well, when it comes to SEO, using a CMS like WordPress really shines, because with anything else, with most other methods of putting your website out there, especially custom coded ones, you have to implement everything related to SEO manually using custom. Am I still here?
Yeah, you just come back. You froze for a couple of seconds.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Let me switch to the...
Yeah, it's going to hopefully come back, folks. He's frozen. He needs to put money in the meter, folks, before he comes on the podcast.
So I've got two internet connections. At times, one doesn't work that well, so I switched to the other one. Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, it's superb. Oh. So off you go.
Okay. So without a CMS like WordPress, if it's a custom build, especially in something like Laravel or not using a mainstream CMS, then you're stuck with very limited options in SEO. You've got to do it all in code. With WordPress and to some extent other CMSs like Joomla and Drupal as well, you get way better control over SEO and compared to fully custom coded solutions. But even among CMSs, WordPress is way ahead in terms of the options you have for SEO. And you basically...
How would you compare it to something like Kajabi or Teachable or Thinkific? Those three, how would you compare where WordPress is with SEO compared to those three leading membership platforms or something like Mighty Networks as well?
So those SaaS platforms, while they do have some sort of built-in SEO controls, mostly because, hey, you can't do without them, but in terms of flexibility and full control, they don't come anywhere near the options you have in the world of WordPress.
Yeah. I think the other thing we got to clear up is that we're going to, at the start, look at about four or five of the leading WordPress plugins, and some of them are excellent. But just installing a WordPress SEO plugin is about, in my opinion, like one-fifth of what you really got to understand and what you got to do. Fundamentally, it's a tool, but it fundamentally won't do SEO. And I think for a lot of people at the beginning of their journey around this subject, they really don't understand that. And I think one or two of the plugins actually promote this confusion in a way. Would you agree with that statement?
I agree, because again, as you pointed out, it's just a tool. Just the way WordPress is a tool, it won't build your site for you. You've got to build the site yourself. Similarly, SEO plugin is a tool. It won't do SEO for you. You've got to use it to do the SEO yourself. So having the concepts cleared is a great first start. In fact, in addition to this session, we'd probably do another session on SEO where we'll talk specifically about the concepts rather than the tools.
Yes, I think that probably next time you're on the show, we'll do that. Yeah. Actually, that's a great idea, actually, Aaron.
Yeah.
Because I think in some ways we're talking about the tools, but maybe we should have done the concept first. But I think...
Actually, come to think of it, if you don't mind, we can go ahead with the concepts today and do the tools in the next one. What do you say about that?
No, in a preferred way, I think that getting people... I think this title and talking about these tools, I think it gets them interested. And then I think we can then explain why the concept element is also so important. I think if you've done the concept first, it's understandable, but I think people, they might switch off first. So okay. I'm not explaining it very well, but I think you understand, don't you?
I understand. I'm glad.
Yeah. So let's start. But it won't be next week, folks, but the following week we'll do about the more broader concepts. So you really want to listen to both these shows, folks, to get a really understanding. I think you'll find it very useful. So let's jump into the most popular still in the WordPress space, but funny enough, the one that I don't use myself anymore.
And I likewise.
And I definitely wouldn't recommend anybody to use it. So that's Yoast SEO. So can you give a quick outline of what it is and why you agree that you don't use it and why you don't recommend it?
Well, frankly speaking, because there are better products out there and that cost less and are less intrusive in their advertising in the back end of getting you to not just upgrade to the Pro version, but also buy all of the premium extensions in addition to Pro. So yeah, Yoast is the old big one that was pretty much de facto SEO plugin in the WordPress ecosystem for several years back in the day, until other options started to surface and really get their market share. It does the job. It's not particularly impressive in that you just install and it gives you the entire set of tools that you need in one package, no? Or even as a free version, giving you enough to not need the Pro version for many small business sites. Gets the job done at a basic level. That's pretty much about it. For anything really advanced, you need its Pro version. And if you're going to invest money into it, then there are way, way, way better options out there that are not intrusive in terms of making it, like taking over the backend admin dashboard with upsells and whatnot.
Yeah, my position on this is the free version. I would never, never recommend anybody to pay for the premium version of this plugin. I think it's a little bit of a ripoff. The free version, my understanding from my developer team is that it does really odd things with 404 redirects and other things that can really drive my development team to literally drink and despair, basically. Has that also been something that you've found?
So I haven't used it in at least half a decade, ever since I switched to better options. But yes, back in the day, it had its quirks. One thing or the other would mess up often with some update.
Yeah, so we don't recommend, if we've got a client that's hosting with us and they're using it, we don't say don't use it, because it's not a security or a dreadful performance issue. But on the other hand, if they ask for advice or if it's a new website, we definitely do not use it. And we would recommend that you don't. They are much better free and premier solutions that we're just about to talk about. So let's talk about one of them. It's not one that I would recommend, but it's not one I know too much about. But I do know a lot of people do like it. And that's Rank Math. So what's your thoughts about Rank Math and what do you see as quickly some of its strengths and weaknesses?
Well, it's a great plugin to start with. The free version gives you plenty of good options and it's captured a lot of market share in a very small time compared to many old ones that have been around. And performance-wise, too, it's I found it to be better than Yoast. It's not my first choice. I'd probably call it my second or third choice. We're going to come to my first choice. And you can't really go wrong with it if you are using it. Like if you're using Yoast, I would probably recommend you to switch to a better option. But if you're using Rank Math, I wouldn't exactly be like, hey, you need to switch to a better one. It works. It's a good plugin. I haven't used their Pro version, but I've heard mixed results from people who have used the Pro version. I didn't have the occasion to use it. But for me, on some sites where I tried the free version, it got the job done well.
I've chosen about four here. There's a lot more out there, but I think these are the four main players. Would you agree or do you think that...
I've added a couple to the list right about now. So yeah, I'm just going to briefly talk about those two as well.
Well, leave those to the end. Surprise me, because I haven't looked at your updated list. He's trying to surprise me, listeners and viewers. I'm too old for that. So let's talk about another one, which I think I've utilized, and I think the free version is quite excellent, and I think a lot of people are using it, and that's SEO Press. What's your thoughts, its strengths and weaknesses, and your general thoughts about this one?
Since around 2018, or was it late 17 or early 18, I switched to SEO Press, and I've never looked back at anything else as my primary tool. So the other ones, all of the other ones that I've mentioned that I've tried in these years, ever since I bought SEO Press, if I've tried them, it has been on another client site that already had it installed. But whenever I've installed one, it's been SEO Press Reason. It does every single thing I need an SEO plugin to do. It does it without hampering other functionality of the site. It does it unintrusively. It has, I have the pro version. I got the lifetime pro license when it was, I think,
$100. He likes his lifetime deals, folks.
So yeah, I got it like unlimited sites lifetime license for under $100 back in the day, worth every single penny. And it's got excellent schema implementation. It's got excellent redirection. It's got pretty much any and everything that you'd need from a premium SEO plugin. So I've never felt the need to even look into other options for my primary use across a lot of sites of my own as well as my clients. So yeah, you just can't go wrong with it. This is my top choice.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said what you've just said. It's everything that Yoast SEO should have been, and they just couldn't be bothered to get off their lazy backside.
And one more thing that I really like about it compared to Yoast is, in Yoast, you start with the free version, then you feel the need for a few premium features, you buy their premium one. Then you, let's say you're working on a publication site, you feel the need to install a video sitemap or new sitemap, and then you have to purchase other add-ons that are not part of their pro version. And for local business, you have to purchase another paid add-on. So with SEO Press, all of the pro tools are part of the single pro license. That's it. You buy the pro version, you'll get every single thing, and it's very reasonably priced for that as well.
It is. It's a fair price, and I think it is $149. I think that's a year pro version.
For unlimited sites. For a single site, it's just $99.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm not sure, actually.
On to the one that I use.
Sorry. It's $49 for five sites. So the entry-level plan, $49 for five sites is like per year. Is as good as it gets in terms of price.
Oh, I have to check this because I got the free version. Oh, I have to check on that. On to the one that I use on my own properties, and it's all-in-one SEO. Before I ask Haroon, I just want to make a couple observations of this plugin. I only use the free version, and the pro version isn't as bad in their business structure as Yoast, but it is a little bit complicated. But I think the free version, for what it does, and the other factor is not a SEO factor, the reason why I moved to utilize in the free version. I also use it because you can select the image that will be shown in social media, in Facebook, in Twitter. And it's one of the few SEO tools that offer that functionality in their free product.
Free version. Yeah.
And that's one of the other main reasons, because otherwise it will choose normally your featured image. And if your feature image is not what you want, so should your social media feeds to utilize, that's problematic. And like I say, but in its pure SEO terms, the free version, I found it what I want from it. The free version totally works for me. So I don't know if you agree with what I say or if you got a different opinion. So what's your thoughts, Haroon?
So yeah, this was the primary reason why I had started using it instead of Yoast before switching to SEO Press. So there was a time after Yoast, before SEO Press, that I also used all-in-one SEO. But the UX and the upselling in the free version, the entire free version's backend dashboard was completely, it felt like something taken from some other system and put into WordPress. It looked nothing like WordPress backend. I also have that gripe with Yoast. It didn't feel native, and the UX was, well, I felt it was atrocious. So I didn't like it much. But
it's got a little bit better, but I think you're still on the right.
In terms of features, it was good. Yeah. It had,
I wouldn't recommend somebody to buy the pro version.
There are better options. There are better options. I wouldn't recommend they go with the pro version of this one. So now I'm going to discuss a couple more options that you didn't have on.
Well, you're going to surprise me, right? There we go.
Yeah. So one is the SEO framework. And in terms of UX, in terms of sheer UX alone, this has probably got to be the best of the bunch. The UX feels as natively WordPress as it gets. And it's modular. They've got extensions that add different features. But the core plugin is fully functional. And if you just want a free core solution for SEO, it's probably one of the really good options to consider. And then, I probably wouldn't buy the SEO Frameworks Pro version. But then the next one, the last one on the list, is Slim SEO. It's a relatively new player.
Yeah.
And they've got a fully functional plugin that's in the free version that contains pro features of most of the other plugins. So that's one major benefit it has. And in terms of performance, in terms of size, it's probably the leanest. Along with the SEO framework, this has to be one of the leanest plugins out there in SEO. And you get a lot of features for free. If you want full control over schema metadata and different schema types, then you can purchase the Slim SEO schema add-on. And in terms of the number of schemas supported, it's got the widest range among all SEO plugins. In fact, I've been considering getting the schema add-on for some odd schemas that are not available in SEO Press schema. SEO Press supports, I think, 30, 40 different schemas, and this probably supports something like 60, 70 different schemas. So most of them are covered by SEO Press, but you come across some odd use case where it's an obscure site that needs a specific type of schema that you need to manually implement in case of SEO Press, but Slim SEO schema has it all. And then they've got
I'm really interrupted you got another one, sorry.
This same one, they have just two paid add-ons. One is for schema and the other is link manager, so that helps you build internal links. It suggests links when you're writing a post. It'll suggest related links to include in that article. That's going to help you with internal linking and keep visitors on site and increase page views of related articles. Because someone is reading an article and they come across a highly relevant link, it's likely that they'll click through. So that helps with SEO as well. And that also includes link updater and broken link checker and orphan pages and all of such reports. That's a useful tool. So these two tools you can purchase separately, and they're rather reasonably priced as well. They also have lifetime licenses available. So yeah, it's a good option to consider.
Right, yeah, we're going to be discussing some of those issues and plugins. I've got to say, Haroon, that I'm very conservative when it comes to SEO plugins. I want to see a consistent track record. I've been tempted myself with lifetime deals, and I think when you're trying to start a plugin and get cash flow, it's totally okay to offer a lifetime deal. But I've made the choice in this particular thing that I'm not really interested in trying something new. I want to see a track record before I go down that road. But we all make different choices. The schema thing, I was really hot on that, and I utilize, I think it's Schema Pro, and I think it's from Brainstorm, the Astra people. Use that. I totally don't bother anymore there. I don't bother with it. I'm not, it's one of these, but everybody's got their own different, but I've got a kind of strange attitude about Google. I don't really trust anything they say. It goes in one year. I do register it, and it's in my memory banks. I don't totally... There's this whole group of WordPress people and that. I just... It goes in one year and it goes out the next and it doesn't even register. But I do allow it to register, but I don't really believe anything that Google says, really. I've got to be honest about it. I don't know what your attitude is, but that scheme of things. So you still, I think it depends on how competitive and other variables, isn't it?
Case to case basis, yes. Every site's SEO needs to be dealt with on a case to case basis.
Right.
In some industries, in some locales, having the right sort of schema implemented can really make the difference. But in other industries, other locales, it may not even matter at all.
Yeah, and just to give some background to the listeners and viewers, this schema thing was something introduced by Google, and it said that if you utilize a kind of set morphology and gave information to Google in a certain structure form, that you would be blessed a little bit more with the Google pixel dust, as I call it. Your website would be the two fairies and the unicorns of Google would look more kindly on your website.
Google.
That's true.
A consortium of companies and non-profit organizations that came up with schemas to basically identify the type of data that is present on a website in cases and on a web page in other cases. So trying to make sense of data in a structured manner.
Yeah, it's got more credibility because what was that other really very focused, which didn't have other players, it was really just pushed by Google. It was a kind of way, I forgot what it was called. It was like plain pages that didn't have any images.
Oh, AMP.
AMP, they were pushing that. Can you explain?
Yeah.
Because I think they've even dropped that, haven't they?
They have.
Can you quickly explain what that was and now what happened to it?
Sure thing. So Google basically took your site, if you opted in and if you did a bit of a setup, it took your site's articles, posts, whatever, and stripped out a lot of unnecessary stuff from it and presented it as a page hosted on their cache, just a cached version on their cache without any dynamic functionality in it. So like if it's a membership site, you can't really log in through AMP, but like the static pages. So they presented them in a way that they were faster, leaner, and served more quickly from their global CDN. So that was AMP, accelerated mobile pages. The primary purpose was to give people a faster experience of browsing content on mobile phones, because often mobile phones didn't have a lot of high-speed connectivity back in the day. But now, mobile phones pretty much everywhere, in every major city, major town, they've got 50 Mbps plus connectivity, usually with 4G. So having accelerated content available is not much of a concern. And Google is also trying to not pay much attention to it. I don't think they've officially dropped it, but it's no longer their priority. It was one of those projects they did, which they then pretty much put on the side.
I thought it was a crappy idea from the beginning, but there we go. It was one of Google's ideas that's like...
The idea was good for content, especially for areas where bandwidth was not readily available or not cheap. So yeah, for content consumption, it was good. But for any functionality, it didn't have that in the first place. You can't have an AMP site entirely that's like a membership or e-commerce site. Only the product page would probably be on AMP. And then when you add to cart, you have to go to the regular page because cart functionality cannot be handled by AMP.
Yeah, I thought it was worth talking about listeners and viewers because it's just a clear example that you can't listen to everything Google says.
Yeah.
And if you you've got to have your critical faculties at play with anything that Google says. You do have to listen because they dominate search. But don't take it as gospel, anything that comes out of their mouth.
Always take it with a grain of salt and always consider that they might drop support next year for something that they're really promoting this year, like it's the end of the world if you don't do it. Next year, they might drop support entirely. So yeah, always keep that in mind.
All right, we're going to go for our break, folks. We've got a list of other great plugins and resources, great value. We will be back in a few moments after a couple of quick messages from some other sponsors.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out we've got a great Facebook group, the Membership Machine Show. If you go over to Facebook, you do a search, Membership Machine Show. It's a great group. It's got a group of great WordPress developers, people like you trying to build a WordPress business, a membership business, a community. It's a great resource. Why don't you join? It's totally free. We'd love for you to be part of the ongoing discussion. So on we go. Link checkers. I just got this. I don't know if it's the best, the worst, the indifferent. It's a free one that I don't use yet. I use another one from, I think I use one. I use something else actually, but I can't remember. But maybe you can quickly explain, because I think it's useful, because it is, does affect your SEO. If you've got a load of broken links and you've got a load of 404 messages. I think I use something from 10up, actually. I think I use theirs, and I've been using it for donkey's years when I want to do redirections. So maybe you can give a brief outline what the hell we're talking about to our learners and intermediates, and what you think about this being on the list.
So yes, if you're using a free SEO plugin, it's extremely likely that it doesn't come with a broken link checker. Paid ones, they, like many do, not all, but many do. Many of the good premium ones, they do come with a way to scan for broken links on your site, and many even help you fix them. But for those using free ones, you usually have to deploy a third party plugin for checking for broken links.
Yeah, because I've got two here, haven't I? I've got broken link check and I've got the redirection.
Yeah, they're different.
And if you're not using one of these paid SEO plugins, apart from Yoast, because they probably charge you extra for every single bit of functionality with an add-on. But that's the main thing you don't get with the free versions, because almost all these SEO plugins offer a good functioning free version, but you don't get all these extra services. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought that we had to point out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good one, and it can help you. Basically, it does one simple job. It helps you find broken links on your site, gives you a list of them so that you can fix them. You can either redirect them or you can point them to the homepage if needed, but at least make sure that they're no longer broken. So, yeah.
Because I really think it's not going to make an enormous difference, but these little things do add up.
And every single thing on its own may not make an enormous difference, yes, but all of them combined, yes.
And I really don't think Google, it's a bad sign to Google if you've got a site that's got a load of broken links. I just don't think they like it, do they?
Yeah. No one likes it, because for humans, it gives a bad user experience, and Google takes user experience into account as a major factor of SEO. If people are going to get a bad experience on your site, they're going to drop off. And Google's going to use it as a ranking factor. It's going to rank you low.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to go delve into this in the next show. But I think the two main things, and you might totally disagree with me, but I think the two main things that, well, there's a probably third. The third is domain authority, but we delve in that in the next show. But when it comes to on-site, I think it's external links that link to your site. And I think it's the actual user experience, i.e. the amount of time they spend on the website. I personally feel those two factors, with some other factors, are the main drivers of how Google sees your site, really, don't they?
Oh, yes. These two are the primary factors, agreed.
Right. I'm doing well, aren't I, listeners of yours? He normally says I'm talking a load of crap. But there we go. But he's not the only one. I think most of the WordPress community says that Jonathan talks a load of crap. I'm so old, folks, I don't bloody care. All we go on to something that was recommended to me by a very well-known SEO and social media expert who actually... Unfortunately, I've forgotten his name, but I will have it in the show notes. He's been on my show for interview, my other podcast, the WP Tonic Show. Really, a lot of these SEO and social media people are a bit iffy. This guy's rock solid. I wish I could remember his name, but he recommended this to me, and I've been using it for a couple of years now, and I think it's made a difference, and it's not ridiculously priced. And it's reasonably easy to use. It's basically internal links, linking content that has some relevance through keywords is important to Google. And a lot of people fail to link internal pages that have value around certain subjects together. And I think it's one of the main... Another factor, not a massive factor, but it's not a lower factor either. I really think Google likes it, and a lot of people don't do it. And I think doing it manually would be the best way of doing it, but it's such a bind. So it's this plugin, it's called Link Whisperer. What's your thoughts? What have I basically said? Is it basically got any credibility, what I've just said? And secondly, what do you think of Link Whisperer?
Oh, yes. Link Whisperer is a pretty good option when it comes to, again, as I was pointing out a little while back when discussing another one of the plugins, when I was discussing Slim SEO's SEO Link Manager add-on. So Link Whisperer does the same thing. When you're composing an article, you want to make sure that you link it to other relevant content on your site. The reason is if someone is on that page reading that article, they are probably already interested in that subject, and seeing other relevant information from your site is only going to help them browse more of your site, spend more time on your site, and learn more from your site, which is going to benefit you in terms of user experience, because user had a great experience learning from your site, and they're not dropping off early. They're actually spending time on your site, and that's going to boost your SEO, because it's taken as a SEO ranking factor, time on site. They're not going to hit back button. You don't want them to hit the back button to go back to the Google page. You want them to then go forward on your site. So for that, there are two options. One is, when writing an article, you remember what other related articles were already there on that.
Can't even remember the next time, you know.
Yeah. So that's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, if it's a site with a big team and with one team member responsible for one particular niche of content on that site, then that person would probably remember that, hey, I wrote about this yesterday. I wrote about this 6 months ago. But if that's not the case, it's not easy. So for that, something that automates the process as you're typing content. It's suggesting you links based on the content that you've written. That's like a godsend for any content rich site.
One tip, folks, it will give you a list. If it's got over 50 internal links, it'll come up with a warning. But even if it's not 50, don't accept to all their suggestions, because you end up with a page with covered with bloody links.
Yeah. I was going to come to that because, that's something that you really have to avoid, because if you do that, if you link to pretty much every remotely relevant piece of content that you've written on your site, then Google is going to see your site not as an information-heavy site, but rather a site that's meant to, you know, make people click on as many things as possible to get the maximum number of page views. So you don't want to send that signal. So keep it like max, like depending on the length of the article. If it's a, let's say, 1,000-word article, keep the internal links max within 5 to 10. If it's like a mega 5,000-word article, then you can probably get away with even 23. But for a 300-400-word article, you probably want to stay under 5 internal links within the content of the article.
Yeah, just...
And make sure they're as relevant as they get.
Listen to Arun about that, because it suggests is a lot. And then you just let it suggest and you click insert. And you definitely don't want to do that. No.
Yeah. Also, the best thing to do is to determine what are the primary keywords of that page, and then insert the links that are most closely related to those primary keywords, and keep the number reasonable, as I mentioned.
Yeah. On to some more kind of professional focused SEO.
We missed one thing. We specifically discussed redirection plugin.
We
just discussed it in passing while discussing Broken Link Checker, but I think redirection is worth a mention, especially for those using free SEO plugins, because it lets you redirect any link on your site to any other link, be it on your site or be it off your site, which is very, very important for broken links as well as for articles that you may want to repurpose. So let's say something is no longer relevant, but it's a page where you wrote something about a tool, like a review you wrote a couple of years ago, and now you're writing an entirely new review, and the previous one is getting traffic. You don't want to get rid of that traffic, so you can redirect that one to the new review you've written, and that way, any traffic that lands on that previous link is going to simply get redirected to the new article. For this and for other purposes, this is a godsend, and it's completely free, which is a great thing. For users of premium SEO plugins like SEO Press Pro or Rank Math Premium and all, redirection is often included in those premium ones. But for free SEO plugin users, this is a godsend. Now let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. So these are kind of quasar more professional tools. They also tend to be SaaS, software as a service. You tend to have to pay monthly or yearly. Well, you have to pay yearly with the WordPress plugins, but they tend to be a lot more. They tend to be monthly subscription models where you get a 20-25% reduction if you pay yearly. The tools here are gradually going to be more and more expensive that we are discussing. One that I've been using for years, and I think even though I wouldn't say it's cheap, because a one-site license starts at $20, but I think you would be best with the second one up, which is Basic, which is the $30 option, the one that I have, but I pay yearly, and these are the monthly prices, is KWP Finder. And I was introduced to this by the content manager and director for Kinsta, Brian, and I've forgotten his second name, Brian Jackson. He's a friend of mine, and he's a fantastic content writer and a real SEO expert, which through his efforts, he really helped Kinsta build up their business. And he recommended and introduced me a few years ago to KW Finder. It's part of a suite of tools. I only use KW Finder, and it really shows that you put in a title of article that you're thinking of writing, and it really shows you how competitive that particular term generally is going to be. This is an art. But I normally find that it also gives you a list of competitor websites that are showing up for that particular term. And it gives you a score, and the score shows you how competitive and how much search volume there is for that particular term. I've found it invaluable because it's reasonably accurate. It's not not always, but normally it is. And for the price compared to some of the other tools, I think it's really good value. And it's really helped me. It's not the only tool. I have a whole suite of tools that I use. But I really think, and look, some of these other tools on the market and that come on the market, they're okay, but they can be a bit iffy. I think KWP Finder is a pretty solid product.
What's your own Finder?
So what do you think of this one?
I've been using it for quite a while myself, and it's great because keyword research is one of the core parts of your content strategy, which is a core factor in your SEO strategy. So if you don't know what to write about and how to phrase it in a way that people are actually looking for what you're writing about, then you're not going to go a very long way in the content industry. So you need to know what people are searching, and Google gives you very limited access to that sort of data. And previously, it used to give more access to that sort of data to everyone. Now, over the years, they've pretty much locked it down more and more to advertisers only. So unless you are an advertiser on Google, you'd have a hard time seeing what people are searching for. Google.
I don't trust them anyways. So
yeah,
I mean Google. I really don't trust them.
So yeah, this tool gives you the ability to search for keywords and see what people are actually searching for. You basically give it your keywords, and it's going to suggest you how to actually title your articles based on related searches data that it has from over the internet. Now, how it captures all of that data and to what scale can it capture all that sort of data? Because it's no Google, and it doesn't have access to Google's backend to really know exactly what people are searching for. But in my experience, it's been fairly accurate.
You don't really tell, do they? Because when it comes to a couple of the other tools, I think they offer Chrome or Firefox extensions.
Yeah.
And that's where they're getting the data. But I don't think KW Finder has ever really explained where they're getting the data from, have they?
Yeah.
But you would agree with that, would you?
That would probably be their industry secret. So yeah, they wouldn't want to reveal. If I were them, I wouldn't want to reveal that to my competitors because that's the service I'm providing. So yeah, they've got a bunch of really nice tools. Overall, their site called Mangools. So KW Finder is one of their tools, and other ones include like Site Profiler, which lets you do site audit. And SCRP Watcher tracks your rank. SCRP Checker, it does your search results.
The reason why, I use one of the other tools that we're going to discuss for that. So let's move on. But I highly recommend it. If you really want to move this to the next level, and it's really a tool that can really help you.
Especially considering the price point, because keyword research tools are going to be available in the next few options we discuss as well, but those are not affordable for everyone. This is and actually those are more accurate than KW Finder because they have way more data. But this one has relatively less data, but I mean the difference in price is substantial, and what you get, the value you get for that price, it means a lot to small businesses who cannot afford to pay hundreds of dollars for a tool like that.
Well, and I still use it, even though I've got access. I use one of these other tools that we're going to discuss. I still use it because I just find the interface really easy to use. And I find some of these other professionals, especially the one that I use, it's really good, but its interface is crap, in my opinion.
Actually, before we move on to those, I'd add another one over here as well, a surprise. So there's one called Serpstat, S-E-R-P-S-T-A-T. Yes. So that's something that I've been using for quite a while as well, and I've got pretty good success with that. It's also very, very reasonably priced, and it's also a bunch of tools.
I've got that. I bought the lifetime deal, but they did exactly Welsh on it, but they've kept the lifetime deal, but they've just added a load of additional tools that they don't offer with the lifetime deal. I think they're based in one of the Latvia or Estonia. I think they're one of the
Eastern Europe. Yeah. I just took a look at their pricing, and it's actually a lot now. Back in the day when I got the lifetime deal, it was dirt cheap. Now it's like the entry level individual plan is $600 a year, but over the years they've added a lot more features as well. So it's only improved over time, and you get not just keyword research, you get like a suite of tools. The features are like a keyword research, AI content generation, a very good site audit, I'd add over here, and competitors analysis, which is a very valuable tool. So I would also consider SCRP Stat.
It's not cheap, but compared to the next two tools that we're going to discuss, something you can definitely look at. And they're a pretty credible company as well, aren't they?
Actually, next three, you added Ahrefs and SEMrush, but you left out Moz. So we can't have a discussion this year without Moz either.
Head back to the end, right? Let's go on to the Ahref. Ahref is the other tool that I use regularly. It's a bit of a monster. It's got awful dated UX design, in my opinion. It's something out of the 90s. But it does the job. I've been using it for the past 4 or 5 years, so I'm grandfathered in. When I did the research, I was quite amazed how much they've bunged the prices up compared to SEMrush. It's a little bit cheaper, but I think SEMrush has got a more modern interface and they offer more functionality. But that functionality, I'm not too sure about some of the added functionality that they add. But Ahrefs, I think in general, Ahrefs, the hardcore SEO professionals tend to still use Ahrefs, but I don't know what your thoughts on that. But I use it for competitor research, for ideas about which topics it shows the most, the posts and articles that your competition are ranking for. It shows keyword. You can really go into a lot of time, and I only use about 30% of its functionality because I'm not prepared to spend hours and hours and hours on this. I've got it to a level because I produce the articles, I produce the videos, I do everything myself, and I spend almost 4 days every week on SEO as it is. So I have become an expert over the years, not because I wanted to, because I've had to.
You have. And a lot of us start in SEO that way because we find ourselves in a position where we have to learn SEO, and then over time we find ourselves as SEO experts.
It is a monster. They do offer a lot. The other factor is, folks, they do offer a lot of YouTube and post-training. The problem with their host of their YouTube channel and a lot of their written training, it does do the job, but it's written in a way that I just don't think in educational ease of absorbment. There's something about it. I can't put it in words, really, but I find it. I tend to watch other people's stuff, their own stuff, to explain their products and their concepts of using the interface, because I just don't find their content that useful. That's a bizarre statement. It starts at $129. That's month to month. You will get 2 to 3 months off if you pay yearly. This is a kind of $1,000 plus a year tool.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not for the lighthearted. I pay it because my business is one of the main building blocks of how I've built my own business up. So if you're going down that road, you will end up spending that kind of money on SEO tools. So,
yeah,
I made some statements here. What's your own thoughts about Ahrefs then?
Worth every single penny. If you're in a position where your organization needs some serious hardcore SEO work, and the ROI of investing in serious hardcore SEO work is worth it, then, I mean, this is probably one of the tools to go for. And then you don't need to use many of the other smaller ones we mentioned. You don't need to use Category Finder. You don't need to use Uber Suggest. You don't need to use, what was the third one? SERPstat. Uber Suggest is also a good keyword research tool by Neil Patel, but I'd go for KW Finder over it. But yeah, Ahrefs has Site Auditor. It has like competitors' analysis tools.
Well, the basic thing is that even if you start with the 129, you don't get access to all their tools. You got to, you got to go up to standard or advanced.
Yeah,
that, you know, and that's the standard monthly is 250, and the advanced is 450.
Yeah,
so but even but it's still worthwhile, isn't it?
Still worthwhile because so they run their own crawlers, just the way Google's SEO crawler is there, crawling websites and indexing all of the content. They don't rely on any third party to provide them with index data. They run their own crawlers, which takes a lot of expense because, hey, it's like bots that are constantly updating a gigantic database of all the sites on the internet that are public, and then maintaining the storage alone of that database. That costs probably millions of dollars a year in storage and processing charges. So infrastructure costs are huge, but then you get some of the most accurate data. You get some of the most accurate keyword research. You get some of the most accurate competitor analysis. You get some of the most accurate content ideas and opportunities. That's a great feature because, hey, you're stuck with, you don't know what to produce. You do some research in it and it's going to suggest you what to produce based on what people are searching, based on what your site is about. And also keeping a track of your rank. So yeah, you simply can't go wrong with it. For several serious SEO professionals, this is like the first tool they're going to have in their arsenal.
Yeah.
And so the next one is very similar.
Let's talk about Ahrefs.
SEMrush.
SEMrush, sorry. Going to be a little bit controversial here. Surprise, surprise. Really powerful tool. It's actually in UX design and usability. I think it's more modern. Best in look. Their educational materials, I actually think, are a little bit better. But I still keep using Ahrefs because I just think the data's better with Ahrefs, to be truthful. But SEMrush, it's even more expensive, their pro version, which is their starter. It's almost month to month. It's almost $140. They do have extra functionality, but I'm not sure that the extra functionality is worth the extra price, to be quite truthful. What they're really good at is offering affiliate deals and their ability to get a horde, I mean, an army of affiliate marketers to work for them has been amazing. And they've built up one of the most profitable online businesses, the growth. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars a year of revenue that's poured into this company with a growth rate of 40% per year. It's been one of the most profitable businesses in the last 10 years. But they really do know how to utilize affiliate marketing and YouTube in general and utilize the affiliates to plug it. It's a great product, but personally, I would if you're going down this route, I would still recommend Ahrefs. So what's your own thoughts on this, Arun?
So, So if you're you, and by you, I don't just mean you as an individual, you know, because at this stage, we're talking organizations rather than individuals, agencies. If you're an agency or if you're an in-house team of a major organization that needs tools like this, and if you and your concern is solely on SEO alone, then Ahrefs is a better option, yes. But if you are dealing with both SEO and marketing, advertising campaigns and whatnot, then SEMrush in a single provider with a single tool, with a single set of tools, like cohesively working with each other, it's going to provide you with more value because they've got some market research and advertising and social media tools that are superior to what Ahrefs has to offer. They've got this whole dedicated advertising toolkit, which is focused not on those growing organic traffic, but also on those running PPC campaigns. Then you can monitor competitors' ad copies, competitors' landing pages, and optimize your advertising spend and analyze Google Shops ad, Google Shopping ad campaigns and whatnot. So it's a better fit if your agency is offering both organic SEO and paid advertising as a package, be it to your clients or be it if your department is responsible for both of these things for your own organization. So this could be a better investment in that regard.
Yeah,
that's the main difference.
Thanks. You put that really fantastic. Thanks for that, Haroon. You're spot on with that. I didn't realize that. I did take extra tools, but it's when you're doing the paid advertising, they've got a whole, which Ahrefs doesn't. Ahrefs really just focus on the SEO organic, SEO, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Now, you want to talk about Moss as well. Now, Moss, folks, the former joint founder, I think he founded it with his mother, the joint founder and used to be the SEO of the company, a gentleman called Fishkin. He's the kind of granddaddy of SEO. I've actually interviewed him twice on my other podcast. Really nice guy. He's moved on to another product, which is more kind of understanding your audience in a broader picture. But he was the founder of Moss. So you still want to talk, because I've personally myself, apart from their Moss local offering, I think they're still going, it's still very popular, but I think he was actually, he had a bit of a bust up with some of his investors, and he was asked to go, basically. But I think they've really suffered in some ways in losing this figurehead, but that's my opinion. So you still want to talk about Moss. So yeah. What do you want to say about Moss?
Yeah, one of the reasons was their focus on their local business, local business marketing aspect. So they're really strong in that. And I'd say they're more in league of SEMrush. They are more of an SEMrush competitor than an Ahrefs competitor, because they also cover not just organic, but also content marketing and digital PR and whatnot. And then one thing where they shine, in my opinion, is custom integrations that you want to build, because they give you lots of API points, and they're way more developer friendly than any of the tools. Like, you have your own internal systems that you want to integrate and automate data flow between the two. Then yes, Moz is a very high value tool. So that's not a use case for a vast majority of people, but when you need it, it really shines. And although I haven't tried it, but the AI, I've heard good things about it from a few.
Yeah, he introduced this whole concept of whiteboard Fridays. I used to watch him. Yeah. Funny enough, I really loved the guy, but he would totally lose me about a third into the White Fridays. He would do it on Zoom, whatever platform, and he would go on for quite a while, and he would lose me quite quickly. I'm not the sharpest tool, but I'm not the bluntest. And that was the whole problem. But I would still watch him because I found it, for some reason, it would be in the background, and I got some knowledge from it. But you definitely lose me, because you can really take this subject really to a very high level. In some ways, I think too high. I think you get 80% of the return from 20% of the knowledge from SEO. And then it's like a bell curve. You can get a little bit of return, but it's only worth that effort if you're being paid really big bucks and you're in a very competitive sector.
Absolutely.
And then it's worth concentrating on the smaller parts of the bell curve. Is that making any sense, Haroon?
It is. And I'd like to add another tool as well before we sign off.
Before we sign off. Oh, go on, then.
Because no session like this that discusses SEO tools is going to be complete without this tool. So far, we've discussed two types of tools. One has been for WordPress as plugins, and the other has been SaaS products. But this is a desktop tool available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. It's called Screaming Frog.
Screaming Frog. It's free, but it's got a pro version as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So the free version has a limit of 500 crawls. So for any site, it can crawl up to 500 links for free. But beyond 500 URLs for the site, you need to get a license to remove that restriction and get some other really useful features as well. So it can find and fix broken links. It can audit your entire site, analyze page titles and metadata, discover duplicate content, and generate XML sitemaps and integrate with Google Analytics and whatnot, crawl JavaScript websites even. And it'll give you a visualization of the entire site structure and a lot. It does a lot for a desktop.
The other thing we never mentioned is the Google, not Google Analytics, the used to be Google Webmaster. They're always renaming it. What do they call it now?
Search Console.
Search Console. It used to be called SEO Webmaster Tools.
Yeah.
It's called Search Console. It's a totally free product. You really need to link your website to that. And it's not like Google. It's a little bit like Google Analytics, but it's cut down. With a little bit of research, looking at certain YouTube videos, you can get the hang of it. And it's totally free. And it's really important that you link your WordPress website to it, because it will tell you if your site's been indexed correctly by Google. I thought we had to quickly mention that.
Not just indexing. It also lets you see if there have been any strikes by Google on any pages. If there are issues in pages that are causing those pages to not be indexed or the site to not be indexed. And that's very valuable information, because you need to know what's wrong before you can fix it. So Google Search Console is one of the first tools you should implement.
Right. I think we've offered a lot of value in this study show. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and your knowledge, Haroon?
So they can reach out to me via my website, which is hqraja.com. H for Haroon, Q, my middle initial, and Raja, hqraja.com. Reach out via the contact form on my website.
And you find the link to Haroon and a full set of show notes with all the links if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to all the links will be in the show notes, and the link to a full article with a transcript with all the links and the link to Haroon. You'll find it all there, folks. We will be back not next week, but the week after, where we're going to do a deeper dive on SEO and the general principles. I think by listening to this show and the next show, you're going to get a very comprehensive dive into SEO. I think we've offered, with Haroon's help, we really offered some great value in this show. Give us some feedback. We love that. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.